Pray for them. They're ministering at a nursing home this coming Thursday morning. Pray that God will use them for His glory. All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 2. The book of Romans chapter 2. Let's read verses 17 to 21. And then we'll jump down to chapter 3, verse number 9. Then I'll pray. Romans chapter 2, verses 17 to 21. And then chapter 3, verse number 9. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest His will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Chapter 3, please, verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Calvary. Thank you for that grace which is freely given to all that are willing to submit in repentance and faith. And Lord, I pray if there are some present this morning that need to make that decision, I pray that this would be their day of salvation. And Lord God, for those of us that are Christians this morning, Lord, encourage us in spirit, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do ask. Amen. The book of Romans is a wonderful book. This book begins with an emphasis on faith. In fact, that is the focus of the book of Romans, faith. That is, we are saved by faith, and we are to live our lives by faith. Note then chapter 1, verse 17, please. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we're saved by faith from sin, and we are to live out our lives by faith. Before we can experience this saving faith, we must understand first and foremost that we are sinners in need of a Saviour. And this is the emphasis of chapters 1, 2 and 3 of the book of Romans. The emphasis is upon the fact that we are sinners in need of salvation. And then from this base, God's remedy of salvation is presented to us in chapters 4 and 5. of the book of Romans. So in other words, we must understand we are first and foremost condemned sinners before a holy God. And once we realize that we are lost in need of a Saviour, then we are fit and ready and able to receive God's gift of eternal life. Now from chapter 1 of Romans, verse number 18, all the way down to chapter 2, verse number 16. We learn the fact that God will judge sin. And nobody will escape God's judgment. That is the emphasis leading to this passage of Scripture that we have just read. God will judge sin. Nobody gets away with sin. Everybody will be held accountable before a holy God concerning their sin. Now within this passage of Scripture, from chapter 2, verse number 17, all the way down to chapter 3, verse number 9, God addresses the religious person. God addresses that individual that would say, well, I'm religious. We're going to answer the question this morning, is the religious person considered or treated differently by God? Is there some slack for the person that is religious compared to that person that is not religious and lives an ungodly life? Is there some give as far as God's concerned? Comparing a religious person with a person that would say, I am not religious. Does God give any favour to a religious person? The world is full of religious people. And during these times, this time of the year, many of these religious people resurface. They predominantly resurface Christmas time, funerals, weddings, Easter time. The world is full of religious people. Now amongst these religious people we have the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. And in the stricter context, these verses, this passage of Scripture is dealing with Jewish people that are religious. But the application from this passage of Scripture applies to all people that would say, I'm religious. Now let me ask you this morning, are you a religious person? Or do you possess spiritual reality? That is the issue. Are you a religious person, or do you possess spiritual reality? We will see from this passage of Scripture whether you are religious or not. We are equally sinners before a holy God, in need of God's salvation by faith. So the Apostle Paul here in Romans chapter 2 deals with the religious individual. So leading up to chapter 2 verse 17, God is spelling out the fact that God will judge sin and nobody will escape the judgment of God. Man will be held accountable because of the witness of creation and because of the inner witness of our conscience. Man is without excuse. Man will be held accountable before a holy God.
So God affirms the fact that judgment is pending and nobody will escape the judgment of God. Now the Apostle Paul deals specifically with that individual that would claim to be religious and use that as a means of safeguard or protection or exemption, per se, from God's judgment. The title of my sermon this morning is Religion or Spiritual Reality? Do you have religion or do you enjoy spiritual reality? Let's note from verses 17 to 20 a reference to the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, and their rest or their confidence in being religious. Now verse number 17, the Apostle Paul addresses first and foremost the fact that it's possible to rest in your religious position as warranting God's righteousness. Note then verse 17, behold, thou art called a Jew. And as the Apostle Paul preached the gospel, he came across time and time again people of his own background. The Apostle Paul was Jewish. He was an Israelite. And many of these individuals, in justifying their stand before God, said to the Apostle Paul, well, I'm a Jew. I'm religious. And they had confidence in the fact that they were religious as being a means of having God's righteousness. Now, even today we have people that have the same excuse. They are resting in the fact that they are religious. And they'll make statements like, I'm a Catholic. I'm an Anglican. I'm a Baptist. So in other words, these individuals, and maybe you are one this morning that would say, well, I'm okay, Pastor, because I am a Baptist. I am a Catholic. I am an Anglican. My friend, biblically speaking, the real issue concerning our position, the issue is not what tag you wear, the issue is that we are all positionally before a holy God, we are in a position of sin. In Romans chapter 5 verse 12 it reads, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death was passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And often we find, as we try to witness to people, often we are confronted by that individual, and they will make statements like, no thanks, I'm a Catholic. And they are doing exactly what many Jewish people did to the Apostle Paul. They said, we're Jews. I'm an Israelite. So they were trusting in their religion, they were trusting in their position, their faith was in their position. But my friend, this morning, according to the authority of the Word of God, we are positionally sinners before a holy God. And via the line of Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So one excuse that many religious people give is that, well, no thank you, I'm right, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Baptist, no thank you, I'm an Anglican. So their faith is in their position. But secondly, we find that many religious people, their faith is not only in their position, their faith is also in what they know. Look at verse number 18. And knowing his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. So many of these Jewish people not only were resting their confidence of being right before God upon the fact that they were Jewish, number one, they were positionally one of God's chosen people, and secondly, they also rested their confidence upon what they knew spiritually. They boasted in knowing the things of God, in other words. And likewise, there are many religious people today who boast in their knowledge of spiritual things as being a mark of being right with God. And they might say things to you like, well, I know I'm on my way to heaven. I know that. And when you and I dared to challenge them concerning how do you know? Watch out. See, Nicodemus there in John chapter 3 knew a lot of Bible. But he did not know what he needed to know in order to get to heaven. He taught Bible. He was a religious mentor to many. But he had no idea concerning how a person enters or sees the kingdom of God. Because when the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again, you must be born again, you must be born again, he had no idea. He couldn't understand this terminology, how a person must be born again. And my friend, there are people today, and you might be one of those religious people, that you are resting your confidence before a holy God upon what you know of the Bible. Brother Joshua and I, only last week, we had a 95-year-old man say to us, I know more of the Bible than what you'll ever know. Remember that? But wow, that's a bold statement. Now I bit my tongue and I tried to be respectful to this man in every which way, but what a boastful statement. See, the issue is not the quantity of what you know, it's the quality. God's after the quality. See, Nicodemus knew a lot of the Bible, but he didn't know that he needed a new birth. He couldn't comprehend that. And he said to the Lord Jesus out of frustration, how can these things be? There's a lot of religious people out there. And you might be one listening to this message right now, and your faith is in what you know. But the issue is, my friend, do you know what you really need to know? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You can know all about the Bible, but yet not be born again. There's a lot of religious people out there that know a lot of Bible. But are they born again by the Spirit of God? Do they know the God of the Bible? This is what we have in religion today. A lot of knowledge. But do you know what you need to know in order to have life eternal? See, the difference between a religious person and Christianity is in a relationship. That's why I ask the question, are you religious or do you have spiritual reality? Do you know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Do you know God or do you just know about God? Like the Jewish people. And thirdly this morning, note then verse number 19 and 20. Not only did these Jews boast to the Apostle Paul that they were Jewish. And not only did they boast to the Apostle Paul they knew spiritual truth, but they also boasted in the fact of what they did. Note then verses 19 and 20. And art confident that thou thyself art a guide to the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and the truth in the law. So the Apostle Paul addresses this religious individual that is not only resting in their position. I am an Anglican. I am Uniting Church. I am a Baptist. Position. He not only addresses the person that is resting in his position, but he also addresses that individual that is resting in what he knows of the Bible. And I meet these people all the time. And they'll boast of what they know of the Bible. And how often I've had people say to me, well, I know that book, I've read that. I know what that's all about. There have been times that I've been cheeky enough under the guidance of the Holy Spirit to ask questions like, well, tell me what the book of Galatians is about. Tell me what the book of Leviticus is about. Find for me Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 2. See, people are boasting of their knowledge of spiritual things, but just because you have a knowledge of spiritual things, it might not necessarily mean that you have a knowledge of God. But thirdly, the Apostle Paul addresses this religious mindset that would say, well, let me tell you, this is what we do spiritually. Don't you realize that we provide guidance spiritually to all others? We're a guide to the blind, so to speak. So they boasted that they had the privilege of providing guidance to others as the people of God, as the apple of God's eye. And yes, the nation of Israel is the apple of God's eye, but without faith in Jesus Christ, she is dead in trespasses and sins. Yes, God provides a Saviour through the nation of Israel, but that does not excuse the Jewish individual of their need to repent and receive Jesus Christ as their Saviour. So these religious people were boasting to the Apostle Paul, well, don't you know what we do? We're teachers, we're spiritual guides. Likewise, my friend, there are many religious people today trusting in what they do or what they have done as being their confidence of eternal life, their means of righteousness. In other words, there are people today, religious people today, that are placing their faith in what they do, what they have done. My friend, may I remind you of Romans chapter 4, verse 5, please. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So the Bible teaches us that a person is not right with God by what they do. A man or a woman or a child can only be right with God by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Amen. to him that believeth, not to him that worketh. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, the Bible teaches us all our works of righteousness are as filthy rags, dirty cloth, impure clothing, unclean. All our works of righteousness are unclean before a holy God. They have no bearing on everlasting life. And there are religious people today, and my friend, you might be one of these individuals that would say, but Pastor, I'm this. And let me tell you what I know. And let me tell you what I've done and what I do. I go to church at Christmas. I go to church at Easter. I give money to World Vision and I try to live by the Ten Commandments, and I'm not a bad bloke after all. This is what I do. I believe in God. I believe in the Bible. I believe you should love people. This is what I do. Though sincere, my friend, you might be one of these religious people, but my friend, before a holy God, that does not cut it.
Right.
Man is not justified by what he does. We are dead in sin, the Bible teaches us. We are unclean, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible teaches us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are sinners before a holy God, and all of our self-effort to find justification before a holy God is of no avail. But wait a minute. There's good news. And the good news is found in the gospel there in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, my friend, this morning, you cannot be righteous before God based upon your position or based upon what you know or based upon what you do. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ that can provide forgiveness of sin. You cannot, I cannot earn God's favor. But when Jesus Christ died on that old rugged cross, he shed his blood. And as that blood was shed, as that body was broken, sin was paid for. Once and for all. Redemption is available to all. And my friend, you no longer need to rest in your religion. You can have spiritual reality by repenting of your sin and inviting the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. See, the Apostle Paul is addressing the religious person. My friend, hell will be full of religious people. In fact, I'd like to take a wild guess. I believe most of hell will be taken up with religious people. In fact, I doubt there'll be one atheist in hell. Do you really believe that, Pastor? Oh, yes. If Richard Dawkins continues on that downward spiral to destruction, even he will lift up his eyes in hell and say, there is a God after all. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. I don't think there'll be any atheists in hell. But there'll be many, many religious people that are crying out and saying, well, I thought because I was a Catholic, or because of what I knew and because of what I did, I sincerely thought that that was enough. will be. And my friend this morning, please, stop trusting in your religion. Stop trusting in what you are and what you know and what you do. Because all our works of righteousness are as filthy rags, the Bible teaches us. But Jesus Christ shed His blood upon that old rugged cross to pay in full for our sins. And if you will repent and by faith acknowledge that you need a Saviour because you're a sinner, you can receive God's gift of eternal life. Are you religious? Or do you possess spiritual reality? See, if gaining God's approval rests in what we do, then, listen to me, what should we be really doing to gain God's approval? Answer that question for me. There are so many religions in the world. If you follow the Mormon religion, they'll tell you this is what you've got to do to gain God's approval. If you follow the JWs, they'll tell you this is what you've got to do to gain God's approval. If you follow the Catholics, they'll tell you this is what you've got to do to gain God's approval. If you follow Islam, they'll tell you this is what you've got to do to gain God's approval. If you follow the Methodists, they'll tell you this is how you gain God's approval. And the list goes on and on. So, which one's right? How do you know which one's right? There's so many different religions, and if you can work out which one's right, then how much is enough? How much is enough? Answer that question for me. How much is enough? See, it's an endless spiral that leads to no hope. But thank God in Jesus Christ there is hope. Because Christ died once and for all. He shed His blood once and for all. It's not a matter of what we have done, it's a matter of what Christ has done for us. He died that we might live. And if we repent and by faith receive Christ as our Saviour, we can be born again. Because it's been paid once and for all. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. Are you religious this morning? Or do you have spiritual reality? That's my question for you. See, in chapter 3, verse number 9, the author concludes, both Jews and Gentiles, they are all under sin. So do you get any brownie points, Pastor, for being religious?
Pastor, do you get any brownie points for being religious?
Well, at the end of the day, no. You're still condemned. You're still a sinner in need of salvation. What about you this morning? Are you religious? Or do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? If you've just got religion, my friend, please, please, stop it. Don't rest in that. It won't get you to heaven. Receive Jesus Christ as Savior. That's my encouragement for you. And for those of us that have spiritual reality, my friend, this is Easter season. This really is the most important time of the year for us. We remember the gospel, the death, the burial and the resurrection of Christ. Let's get involved and tell others. Because there are religious people everywhere. Everywhere. And their faith is in what they are and what they know and what they do. And they sincerely believe that what they are and what they know and what they do will get them to heaven. But my friend, this is not what the Bible teaches. And you are that ambassador. You are that one that needs to deliver the message of truth. May God help us. Let's bow for prayer.